Bartender!
Yes, ma'am!
Call me another drink, please.
You are welcome. Blah, 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 blah.
Are here on this first full moon for our first
bonus episode.
Bonus. Pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew. Pew. Wow.
Yes.
So we've got wine.
Not just any wine. We have
19 Crimes Wine.
19 Crimes Wine. Which, shout out to Creeps and Crimes Podcast. Taylor and Morgan are the OGs. And honestly, we're on episode 5 right now. And they have, like, Taylor, I DM her a lot. She's helped me a lot. They recommended these 19 Crimes Wines. And if you need to know, they're Snoop Dogg's wine.
Snoop D-O-double-G.
Snoop.
Yes.
Yeah. And they are murder wines.
Murder wine for murder episode wines. 5. Murder wine for episode 5. We got some murder wine for episode 5.
Hey, nicely done.
Thank you so much.
And listen to the back of the Cali Rosé. 19 Crimes tells the true story of true breakers who beat the odds, overcome adversity, and went on to become folk heroes in their society. This spirit lives on today through innovators and culture creators like Cali's own Snoop Dogg, a leader in the contemporary pop culture. Snoop embodies the timeless values of the 19 crime rogues who came before him. Glasses up, bitches.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, yeah, we cuss a lot in this one.
Oh, yeah, because we drinking.
Because we drinking.
Because we drinking 19 crime wine. Sorry, I've oh, my God. We're only 2 minutes in.
Love it.
This is a lot. So this is our first Teacher Happy Hour. And Teacher Happy Hours are a smidge different than our typical episodes. Tell them, Brooke.
We are drinking wine.
Yep.
AKA apple juice if you're a student. Which I've already told my students not to listen to the Happy Hour episodes.
And my students have no idea this even exists.
So I will not be playing this one in my classroom.
And they will not be listening to it.
No. And we are going to eventually have other teachers on our happy hour episodes. Our next happy hour episode, we will have a guest.
We will?
Ashley didn't even know about that.
What?
Surprise!
What the devil?
I don't know. So, it is March 16th, baby.
The 16th of March.
And it is a full moon.
Oh!
That's what I was going for, and then that, I don't know what just came out. So,
yeah.
The crazies are around.
The crazies are around. The crazies are around.
Try to prove me wrong. The Mercurys are with the Jupiters and they're grading and they're,
you know.
Oh, they're grading.
They're grading.
Like us.
Because we're teachers.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Who would have thought? And for this segment, this bonus episode, we're going to like switch gears a little bit.
Chim, chim.
Yeah. Yeah. And, so normally we do like teens that have committed these heinous crimes. We are very pro-victim. We are still going to be pro-victim. We're going to switch it up and we're going to focus on
teachers.
The teachers of the classroom.
The teachers of the classroom who are us.
And either these teachers are the murderers or being murdered. We don't ever know. That is the beauty of the happy hour. But it's not going to be the teens that we focus on. It's the teachers. Am I right?
No.
No?
Oh. Not with my episode. I'm still talking about him. I mean, I talk about her a little bit, but like, oh no. Well, this is...
But she get murdered. That's what I just said. The teachers get murdered.
Yeah, but you said we were going to focus on her. And granted, I'm talking about her, but I'm focusing on the killer.
That's fine.
Okay.
It's just about teacher, though.
Yeah. That's the point. Okay. I just... Okay.
Not like a mom or dad.
No.
Yeah. Mm. Or strangers like DH Page.
Yeah. Like,
it's a teacher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
We never said, I'm Ashley.
Oh, my God. Who are we?
I'm Ashley.
I'm Brooke.
And this is Teachers Who Talk Crime
Podcast.
It's so fun to say.
So I'm good at.
Oh my gosh. So if you're here with us, thanks for rocking out with us for 4 episodes and now on your 5th. We hope you enjoy our content. And if you do, follow us on the IG at Teachers Talk Crime.
And follow us on TikTok at southern.math.teacher.
And Branny, y'all already know it's with 3 Y's. And an underscore.
Don't forget the underscore.
Don't do it.
Also, we have a Buy Me a Coffee. We love coffee. We love loaded teas. And if you would like to contribute to our caffeine addiction, because it is very out there and very true and
yes.
dear to our hearts.
Yes.
Then it is buymeacoffee.com/TTC podcast.
TTC.
And those are all of our socials.
Yes, it is.
Oh, this has been fun.
This has been really fun.
Yeah.
Why don't we do this like a long time ago?
I know.
You know? I know. And now here we are just living out our dreams.
Did you know, fun fact.
This
podcast, and I like, because obviously this is only our 5th episode.
Yeah.
And we have just been, any question we've had, we've turned to Taylor. I've turned to Taylor from Creeps and Crimes. I've also turned to Sinister Podcast and asked them a million questions. They've been super helpful. I know you reached out to Morbid.
Yeah.
They, like, hooked you up with some info.
Yeah, shout out to Elena, because right. she really DM'd me back.
Which and is that was so fangirling. Cool, because they're famous.
They're, like, super famous.
Yeah. I fangirl over Taylor, and you know, like they're a year in and they're also growing at a rapid rate, but I fangirl over Taylor and Morgan.
Yeah.
But where was I going with that?
I don't know.
What was I saying?
I forgot.
Oh my God.
Brooke, we're only 7 minutes in and we didn't even start. Oh my gosh.
Can we pause it and play it back?
Yeah.
Okay, I remembered. And I remembered before we paused it and re-listened to it. I remember, like, right when we paused it. Where I was going with that is, fun fact, most podcasts, because I do not know the number, but it was an extreme amount of, like, podcasts that are out there in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not just true crime, just in general. But most podcasts do not make it past 10 episodes. So we have to make it past 10 episodes. And our 10th episode is another happy hour episode.
Yes, it is. Pew, pew.
So we have a lot to celebrate at 10 because we've already beat the norm.
Yes.
We're not going anywhere.
No, well.
This is what we want to do. This is like, I feel like we've poured a lot into this.
So much. We were just talking about how we haven't reaped any benefits, but we put like a decent amount of money into this.
Already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I actually looked up the other day, PodFest.
It's a thing.
We can't afford to go.
Oh, because we're teachers.
And we're poor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the tickets for the whole festival, one day. When we bring the bag home.
I feel like one day they'll invite us to go. Like, we won't even have to pay.
For, like, the whole weekend, it was, like, $700-something.
That's not something I'm willing to do. I'm so sorry.
Podfest, will you sponsor us?
Por favor.
Because I would love to go.
I would love to go. Just, like, the crime festival. Crime other things. And they have, like, all those places, like, kind of like a Comic-Con, but for true crime.
I didn't look that one up.
They have those. I can't remember what it's called. But then again, I feel like we should start playing Taunt a Killer. Do you know that game that you subscribe and they send you like a case and you solve it? And I feel like that would be a cool intro to like happy hours. Because we would like try and solve it, right?
Free advertisement.
Time to killer. Because every time I listen to Morbid, they always talk about it. And I want to play.
We should get it.
I like games. I'm good at them.
Oh my gosh, let's do that.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready? Maybe.
I sure hope so.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to do our best.
Here we go. The happy hour. You definitely need to sit down. You definitely need to shut up.
Cállate la bocas, man.
Because the murder is about to begin.
Pew, 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 pew. And it's my happy hour.
Yes, it is.
It's me.
You'll actually hear Ashley back to back. So we were alternating. I was odds. She was evens. But once we get to a happy hour episode, we double up and then we switch. So now I'll be evens. She'll be odds until the next happy hour and it'll switch again.
Yeah. We switch, change, flip it, and reverse it. You got to say the flirt, the manipa, playing the anthem.
I need another glass.
Oh, just a little bit. You should probably just top me off before we start.
Pardon the interruptions. Teachers Talk Crime would like to disclose that some of the things discussed on this podcast are their opinions. Ashley and Brooke are not pointing the blame on anyone. They are just two teachers with a microphone. Thank you. And away we go!
Lesson will be on the murder of Anne McGuire. As we mentioned,
Lizzie McGuire's mom?
No. But she was really sweet, so I feel like she could have been Lizzie McGuire's mom, you know?
Oh, that's Lizzie McGuire.
That was a good show. So as we talked about a few moments ago, these are all about crimes involving teachers. And unfortunately, Anne McGuire was the teacher.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate.
Is this going to get me, like, in my feels that one of my students may murder me?
Possibly.
Oh, God.
Possibly, but, you know.
Oh, God. Which is sad because one student's come into mind.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's scary. Oh, my.
Okay.
So our lesson begins on April 8th, 2014 in Leeds, which is in West Yorkshire. I hope I'm saying that right.
You are.
Okay. I don't want to mispronounce anything, guys. In Ireland? In England. Okay. Oh, okay. So no one come for me. I did my best, please.
Yorkshire. I love their accent.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
I'm not even going to attempt to do it. I don't want to disrespect you guys like that. I'm so sorry.
I love it.
So on April 28th, 15-year-old William Cornick went to his mother's house, at which he grabbed two kitchen knives and a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Not the Jack.
And after he put them in his backpack, he headed to Corpus Christi Catholic College. Now, over there, obviously he's 15. He's not in college. Like, college is the equivalent of high school, and university is like our college.
Yes, they call it university.
Yeah.
So
a classmate, Zach Capitano, I hope I'm saying that right. I'm so sorry, Zach. Asked William to play cards with him when he got to school. And William told him no. So Zach asked him if he wanted to play tomorrow, in which William replied, "I won't be here tomorrow."
Ooh.
I don't know why I gave that voice. I don't think he really sounded
also,
like that.
Also, Catholic schools are very big over there.
Yeah.
Like, they're like a really common thing.
So William was in his Spanish class with his 61-year-old Spanish teacher, Anne McGuire. And Anne was well-loved at her school, and she was considered the mother of the school.
Aww.
And the school's heartbeat.
That's really sweet.
That's so sweet.
I'm not considered that.
I don't think I am either. But, you know, I hope I aspire to be like Anne one day. So she was described as being kind and approachable and warm-hearted, devoted life to teaching and her family. Like, she would... Anne was the bomb.com.
She is what society wants all teachers to be.
Yes, exactly. Okay. That is the perfect definition. So she and her husband, Don, had been married for 37 years and they had four kids together. Two of those kids she birthed herself. And then two of them she adopted from her sister when she passed away.
Oh my God.
Yes. Like, I'm telling you, hashtag bomb.com.
I don't want no kids. Sorry, James.
I mean, I got two of them, and I love them. I don't know if I want any more.
I love your kids.
They're great. I just don't know if I want any more.
But you had two at one time.
I did. Yes, I did. So
four. Two she adopted. That's awesome.
Yes. Like, shout out to Anne and Don.
But here's your shout out, Mary. I would take Casey in a heartbeat if anything ever happened to you.
Oh,
Mary.
Because you love that little girl. You love that little girl.
Yeah. She had three shout outs.
Yeah.
She don't need to be petty no more.
Nope. Never. There you go. So for Anne, Corpus Christi was her first and forever school. Like, this was her 41st year teaching, and she student taught there before she was teaching.
Y'all, I am not teaching for 40-something years.
I can tell you that for a fact. I'm in year 8, and
I'm on year 5.
And I love what I do, but I'm tired.
40.
Yeah.
Something years.
Even thinking about that, I'm just like, ooh.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. So the year before, the school celebrated her 40 years of service, and they set up an Anne McGuire Award that recognized the year 11 student that showed the most dedication and industry and progress at the school.
That's cute.
Like, Anne is really lit.
I will say that that's like a huge honor, because like the only goal that I have right now as an educator is to like one day be Teacher of the Year.
You know, I would love to be Teacher of the Year. However, the amount of work.
Oh, my God.
Like, the essays that you have to write. Like, if I was nominated, I would probably be like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. However, comma, I already have too much on my plate. And I can't write 10 essays. Like,
right.
I can't do that. When am I going to fit in that time? And I get it. People are going to be like, oh, my gosh, if you want it really bad, you'll do it. I want it really bad, but I feel like I just can't expend myself anymore to do that.
That's true. And then she's out here getting awards because they recognize her service without essays.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So over in Corpus Christi, they do classes just a little bit different. So like I said, William was in his Spanish class. So Spanish class was broken up into two separate classrooms. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Happy hour.
I'm so sorry. So because they were broken up into two separate classrooms, I'm assuming that Anne was bouncing in between these two classrooms to deliver her lesson. And if anyone can clarify if this is in case the fact, please like DM us and let us know, or what the thought process is behind this, because I tried to look it up and I couldn't find anything.
This is giving me like my school last year, the teachers rotated, the kids stayed put.
Mm. But they need those movement breaks.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that's what I'm thinking. Or either they divided up in like, you were freshman and sophomore, senior and junior.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Age. Or I don't levels know. If you were in Spanish 1 or Spanish 2.
Okay.
Because that's how my high school did it.
Maybe. But you know they do things differently over there.
You're right.
So William was in her class, but not in the classroom she was teaching in, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So remember, William has a book bag full of knives and Jack Daniels. So he took the knife out of his backpack and he walked to the other room that Anne was teaching in.
Oh my God, this just hit me. I have heard about this case.
Yep.
Never researched. Oh my God. Okay. Yep. I'm so excited now.
Yep. I mean, not excited.
Not excited, like, but like, okay.
Like, eager to find out more information.
Right.
I feel like that's a better term. Yeah. So he goes into this other room and Anne is like helping another student. So she can't see him enter this classroom. She is like, you know, when you help students and you're like over the front of their desk and you're like helping them that way. Mm-hmm. So he comes up behind her.
In a classroom full of students.
In a classroom full of students. And begins to stab her in the neck and the back.
Oh, shit.
A total of 7 times. And again.
This is rapid stabbing, because at this point, somebody should have intervened.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't know how close in proximity the classrooms were to each other, but if Anne had to jump between the two, I'm assuming they were either right next door or like somewhere in close proximity. You know what I mean? So he's doing this in front of his classmates. I can only imagine the trauma that these children have, like, the trauma that they're currently working through.
Well, I feel like, too, you would, like, my brain goes to what was one of the males doing? Why didn't they jump in? But when that's happening, it's almost like you're frozen in time because you're like, this can't be actually happening.
Yeah, right now. Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't even know what I would have done in this situation. Like, that's,
I don't either. I've
that's never been bizarre.
In that situation.
Oh, neither have I. So they're getting, later on when the students are interviewed, it was mentioned that he was very calm through the entire incident.
Oh my God.
Like just.
Stab.
No emotion, nothing. Yeah. So she's bleeding profusely and she manages to get out of the classroom, but William is following her. Okay. So while she's avoiding him, she runs into another staff member in the hallway that took her into a side room to kind of protect her. And this phenomenal woman, her name is Susan Francis. She, I don't even know how to, like, I was trying to picture what she was doing. And I was just like, I don't even know how in that drop of a hat you were able to do this. She had her leg up against the door because William is trying to come in and essentially finish the job.
Yeah, he's after her.
Yes. So this whole time, Susan has Anne in her arms and is talking to her about her family and telling her that she is loved. So while, like, this man is trying to get into the room, she's propped her leg up there and she's telling her, look, everything's going to be fine. Think about your family. You are a loved person. And according to my source, Anne, who had spent 4 decades in this school, discussed retirement that morning with her husband and was set to retire in September.
So Frances is calming her down.
Susan, yes. Susan Frances,
like,
yes.
Like trying to get her to a calm
yes.
place.
Like, you're loved, everything's going to be okay, you're going to be fine.
All while holding the door
yes.
essentially closed.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was just like, what an amazing woman. Like, I don't know if she's still teaching there, but shout out to Susan. Because you did it, girl.
Do you think you have a coworker? Like, I don't know. I do. I have great coworkers.
So do I.
That would help me out.
Oh, absolutely.
But absolutely. I feel like my coworkers are like baddies, and they would have been like swinging. We fighting.
Mm-hmm.
There would have been no calm words. We are going after this. I'm helping you.
You ready to rumble?
Yeah, we're ready to rumble.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess William got tired of trying to get to Anne. And he discarded the gun and went back. You're right. I'm so sorry. He discarded the... See, I wrote gun here.
Yeah, he definitely has some knives.
He definitely had knives.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? Mm.
That's when you were at the Green Turtle.
You know, it might have been. I'm so sorry, Susan. I'm so sorry, Anne. I'm just butchering this. Okay, here we go. Blah, 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 blah. Here we go. So he discards of the knife and goes back to his classroom and back to his seat.
Like normal.
Like normal.
Like he just did nothing.
Like he did absolutely nothing.
I need you to get the fuck out of this school.
Damn. And he sits down in his seat and he says... Good times.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
What year was this?
This was 20... I'm sorry, I'm scrolling up. 14.
So we've had lockdowns. Because I remember having lockdowns.
Oh, yeah. School. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Good times? Are you serious?
Yeah. That'd be crazy. Mm. That'd be nuts. So ambulance came and immediately got to work on Anne, desperately trying to save her. But unfortunately, she passed away while at the school from shock and blood loss because her jugular vein was severed in the attack.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think the saddest thing about this is that her husband, Don, was notified by the headmaster of the school, but not about the severity of the incident. So he pretty much knew that something had happened to her at school and that she was in the hospital. But he didn't actually learn about the knife. Like, towards the end of the call.
He didn't know that she was attacked by a student.
Yeah. So she figured that she was just cut on the arm. Like, he didn't know what really went down.
So an ambulance arrived. She died at the hospital.
No, she died at the school.
But the ambulance had arrived to try to revive her.
Mm-hmm. So the headmaster contacts him and is just like, yeah, so essentially your wife's been in an incident, blah, blah, blah. She's on her way to the hospital. You know, it involved a knife. So Don arrives to the hospital thinking everything is like, all
thinking
right, you know,
there.
Yeah, thinking it's just like a regular, you know, not a regular because that's not something regular as a teacher, but thinking it's just like minor injuries and that she's going to get wrapped up and go home. So when he gets to the emergency room and they take him to the room, Anne is surrounded by all these people in a hospital bed. She is deceased. And he describes there being blood everywhere. So imagine you're going to the hospital for your spouse. You know that a knife is involved, but you think it's just like something minor, something that requires stitches and you can go home. And he gets there, like probably just like, see, baby, that's why we retiring. You know what I mean? Like, this is why we're about to be done. And he sees his wife in there with all these doctors and blood all over the floor.
I'd have some words to say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I would have some words to say.
I remember reading this and I'm just like, why wasn't he notified properly?
Because I get here now.
You know what I mean? Like,
something's happened.
Absolutely. So that irritated me off the bat. I was very irritated by that. And this is actually the first time in Britain history that a teacher was murdered in their own classroom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, okay, so we do, I mean, my school is not located in the best surrounding area of our town. And so we have lockdowns pretty regularly. Not because anything's happened at our school, but because something's happened around the
school. Yeah, like in the vicinity.
And they always come over the intercom and they're like, students, please do not contact your parents. Like, we're fine. If I was a mother...
Oh.
And when I knew my kid was in a lockdown, not a drill, a lockdown, I would want to know.
And it's funny that you say that because I want to say like, I think it was around Halloween. I typically leave work and I go pick up the girls from daycare and we get a message from their school. Like there was a lockdown because something was going on around the area of their school. Someone had committed a crime. I think he shot somebody and he lived in like a house around the area where the girls go to preschool. So they hadn't found him yet. So they were keeping the girls past dismissal until it was safe to let the buses go and take them back to daycare. And
which I support. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I was cool with it, but I was still panicking. I was like, well, can I go pick them up myself? And they're like, they're not letting anyone in and out of the building. So, no. So I'm, like, literally at school, like, okay, everything's going to be fine. Like, everything's fine, you know? So that's a terrifying situation, but
it's 2014. People had phones, too.
Yeah, but
these kids had phones.
And it's sad that these are the times that you have to practice these drills and you have to do these things. You know what I mean? Like, what has really happened to our world that this is something, this is the norm? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a terrifying thing. So while William is in custody in the hospital, they're trying to determine his mental state during the crime. And William is still calm as a cucumber. And he says, I wasn't in shock. I was happy. And I had a sense of pride. I still do. I know it's uncivilized, but I know it's incredibly instinctual and human past generations of life. Killing is the root of survival. It's kill or be killed. I didn't have a choice. It was kill her or suicide.
What?
Yeah.
What did he mean is kill or be killed? This woman is amazing, getting an award, getting 40 years of service, never having any issues with her kids. What, like, did she give you a failing grade? Do we, like, what?
Oh, we're going to find out.
What do you mean it's kill or be killed? This woman wouldn't have killed you.
It was the most bizarre thing. It was the most bizarre thing. And the funny thing is, this is the first case that I ever wrote the script for. Because this is before we deemed teacher happy hours dedicated to teachers.
Right.
Yeah. So as I'm writing this, I'm just like, what? And then when you find out like the backstory, it's just like, what? Like, this made no sense.
He's a cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So then obviously, you know, all of his classmates witness this and he's being asked like, imagine how they feel and imagine how Anne's family feels about everything. And he responded with things like, I couldn't give a shit. And I know the victim's family will be upset, but I don't care. In my eyes, everything I've done is fine and dandy.
He used the word dandy.
Dandy. Dandy.
Woo! I need to take a drink.
Yeah. It's wild. So on November 3rd, 2014, he was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum of 20 years after pleading guilty for her murder.
20 years is not enough.
Not at all. Not at all. Like, you pleaded guilty and you still have a possibility. But I will say the judge did say there is a possibility that he will never see the outside of prison. But why is it not a guarantee?
Yeah, why didn't we sentence him to life?
He not murdered.
Because this is in England.
I mean, he was sentenced to life, but he has the possibility of getting out. But, like, for what? Good behavior? Like, again, you've murdered someone. Like, I don't... Myself, personally, I feel like if you kill somebody...
Should be a life sentence. Done.
Like, you... I don't... I mean, some people can get it together, but, like, I just don't... In my... Like, you sought out to do this. He packed these knives in his book bag. Mm-hmm. And the reason why he packed that Jack Daniels in his backpack was to celebrate. Was to celebrate.
Because where I went was when you said Jack Daniels, I guess because of the cases I've been researching, a lot of the people that are seeking out murder hype up beforehand. Like, they need that courage that, like, the case we're going to cover later, like, he needs that drug. He needed to hype himself up.
Yeah.
So where I went with the Jack Daniels was that he needed liquid courage.
No, ma'am.
Shit.
Yeah. It's nuts. It's absolutely freaking nuts. Like, bizarre. So, like, the fact that you murdered your teacher in front of her students and your peers, your classmates, and you probably won't get out, but you might, that doesn't sit well with me.
Doesn't sit well with me either. There are people in prison systems that have done...
A fraction.
Oh, God, less than that, too.
Yeah, like a fraction of what he did, and they're... Look, that's it. We've thrown the book at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Oh, okay. My palms are sweating.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the crime. So I'm going to go back. You know how I do my thing. I get y'all riled up. And then you're like, oh.
I'm over here massaging my shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's not really an O in this case. There's not really an O. It's just like, what? Why? It still doesn't make sense. So how did we get here? How did William murder this beloved teacher at this school? So William Cornick was born on June 26, 1998 to his parents Ian and Michelle. From all of my sources, he came from a good family. And his parents were described as entirely responsible and caring people.
My God, he is literally 2 years younger than my sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. So he had a pretty normal and happy childhood, and his parents noted that he had a really good relationship with his older brother and his younger stepbrother. Okay? Definitely, I don't think this is like a nurture versus nature situation, because for doing something so heinous and to have a good childhood, it just seems to be like off.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So like, the family dynamic didn't affect
these
actions.
No, not at all. Not at all. So his parents did divorce when he was either 4 or 6. I watched a documentary about it that said 6, but then I read sources that said 4. So he was like 4-7-ish.
But he could have been exposed to them being separated at 4, because a lot of couples separate legally before they get divorced.
Mm.
So yeah.
But from what I found, the split was amicable and they did co-parent really well. So again, he wasn't like, I don't want to say groomed, but he wasn't put into a situation where he saw violence and this is why he did what he did.
Right.
And the strange thing about this case was that William was never a bad kid in school. He was a good student and he actually had really good attendance in school. He was reserved and awkward or strange, but like no different from like kids his age. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like when you're at that age, you're like awkward and you're like trying to discover yourself.
Absolutely.
You know? So, actually, in previous years, Anne McGuire herself described him as a bright and conscientious.
Great. I teach numbers.
I'm so sad. I'm sad and I'm sorry at the same time. I teach reading, but I don't, my third graders don't need to know this word. So I'm going to say conscientious. And please don't come for me. It's a happy hour.
Yeah, we can't talk.
Yeah, and we're trying our best. So one of the contributing factors that I couldn't find. And when I say contributing factors, I am reaching. I am reaching. He was diagnosed with diabetes in 2010 after
You're reaching.
Yeah, I am. But like this, it literally makes no sense. So after he fell into a diabetic coma, he discovered that he had diabetes in 2010. So he had dreams of joining the army. And being insulin dependent disqualifies you from joining.
In England?
I guess, yeah.
So I wonder if that's how it is here. I don't know. We need to look that up.
We do need
to look that up.
That's
very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So after this, his friends noticed changes in him after being diagnosed, particularly with his dark humor.
Okay.
But again, we're reaching. Being diagnosed with diabetes does not immediately correlate to you being a murderer.
Dark humor also doesn't correlate you to being a murderer either.
Mm-hmm.
Because my eighth graders were not even born during 9/11 and will make jokes about 9/11.
Why are we joking?
It's now, I correct them immediately.
Yeah.
We will not. But they don't get it.
Yeah.
They weren't around. They didn't experience it. They weren't. They were in the womb.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is dark humor. But to them, they do not think that they are expressing dark humor.
And I guess it's just because of the... Like, age. They weren't there.
They weren't there in their age. They're trying to get a reaction. They're trying to get a laugh. Mm. They're trying to get a ha-ha.
Yeah.
Well, to an adult in the room, that's not fucking funny.
Yeah, it's not. Because we literally lived through that. We exactly. literally did. So...
I'll tell you exactly where I was. Anyways.
So don't do that.
Dark humor, I don't think, makes you a murderer either.
No, not at all. I know plenty of people who, like, you know, go to dark humor sometimes, but I'd never be like, oh, you're going to kill me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So again, why Anne?
Yeah.
Well.
Why this woman?
Why her? Well, he hated her.
Okay.
Now, we're teachers. Kids in general throw that word hate around a lot.
They do, but I will also add to that, they do throw that word hate around.
Yes.
And you've been teaching 8 years, I've been teaching 5. Every single year, there is a student
yes.
that I just don't jive with.
Yeah.
And that's not because I'm not there for them and I don't love them and they it's not because they hate me. It is just because our personalities
absolutely.
Do not mesh.
Absolutely.
And that's okay.
Absolutely.
I'm still there to help them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really like me. They probably get on my nerves a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. But
A little lot.
But every year there's one student that we just don't jive.
Yeah.
He's not coming, or they're not coming to me to confide.
Yeah.
And, you know, be there for them.
Yeah.
Like, I have a student right now that, like, he's trying to go... to the MLB, and he's actually already being recruited.
Oh, that's amazing.
He's that good at baseball.
Shout outs to you.
Exactly. But he will come in my room in the mornings. I don't teach this kid till sixth period. He will come in my rooms in the morning. Can I show you my highlight film? Can I show you my pictures? I'm going to California this weekend. I'm going to Tennessee this weekend. Like, we jive.
Yeah.
We jive.
Yeah.
I'm there for him. He wants to hear about my podcast.
Yeah.
Like, we're cool. But then I have kids that... They don't want to talk to me.
Oh, I...
They talk to me because they are called on in class.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes. I have a child that's like the opposite. Sweet as pie. But I'm this loud New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
And he is quiet and reserved. I mean, he doesn't confide in me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going through some things right now, but he doesn't confide in me about them. He has a individual in the school that he's really, like, close with that he
right.
goes to talk to, and that's fine. I mean, he respects me. I respect him.
Mm-hmm.
I am very cautious of my loudness around him because I know I can be a lot. So I get it. You know, you're not going to mesh with every student you have.
Absolutely.
But you will always be there for them. You will always help them, and you will always want them to succeed.
Absolutely.
Point blank, period.
So with that being said, I don't think that the kids that I don't mesh with and that I don't vibe with would ever, like, physically harm me.
Yes.
You move on to ninth grade, you move on with life, and you're just like, oh, yeah, I had that one teacher. Like, my eighth grade teacher, I'm an eighth grade teacher. My eighth grade math teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't jive
mm-hmm.
at all.
Yeah.
Like, for many reasons.
Yeah.
But I respected her as my teacher. I knew I was going to the high school the next year. We got through it.
Absolutely.
Will I speak to her now as an adult in Walmart?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Am I rude to her, though?
No.
No. I just look at it.
I feel like you don't have the capability of being rude because you're like from the South and y'all are just sweet as crumpets.
She dress-coded me. On picture day.
Not on picture day.
On picture day. And we wore uniforms.
You know, I know we're going off on tangents, guys. Sorry, but again, it's a happy hour. This is going to probably be our longer episodes.
Yeah, sorry. Wow. Tangent over. But
again, but not over. Because I don't really care about dress code.
I don't either.
Me, myself, personally. I work at a school where they have dress codes. And the kids come in with their hoodies on. And I don't... Here's the thing. You came to school. You're right. Here.
Right.
Why am I going to bug you out about a uniform when your only job here is to learn?
We got a new principal mid-year. And he is big on hoodies. But... He is only big on hoodies, and this is where I do defend it. He's learning the kids. And if they walk down the hall with a hoodie on, he can't tell who they are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's like, hey, I've only been here a month. I got to know all of y'all.
Yeah.
Take your hoodie off. Let me talk to y'all.
Yeah.
That's kind of where his stance is. But, like, I have kids. Like, you were saying today, literally, you were like, I wish I could wear holes in my jeans to work. I wear holes in my jeans. Sorry.
I'm gonna be jealous.
Okay, but you know what? My knees are not enticing anyone.
Yeah.
Sorry. And my kids will come to school, and they'll wear jeans with holes in them, and I don't say a thing. And they're like, you know, you're the only teacher all day that didn't say anything. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't even know. I didn't even realize. I don't care.
Yeah.
There was a kid. I teach him seventh period, which is the last period of the day. There was a kid. He came in school. And he had a shirt that said, I love bullets. And the shirt bullets on it. Mm-mm-mm. And that's the only kid all year that I've said something to. And I was just like, hey, I don't think that's school appropriate. Just with, like, the dynamic that we live in.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's it. That's all I've ever dress coded.
Yeah.
And I didn't even dress code him. I just said, hey, don't wear it again.
He was probably like, okay.
Yeah, he was. He was like, all right.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, my kids, if they have their hoodies on, I'm like, guys, is it really raining in my classroom? Let's take it down. But, like,
I'll make it funny.
Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're wearing a hoodie. I keep my classroom warm. And maybe they don't run warm or whatever.
Do you have those kids that wear hoodies and then they tell you that your classroom's hot and then you say, well, then take your hoodie off?
No. They more so just ask me, like, oh, my God, it's so hot in here. Can you turn down the heat? And I'm just like, that's going to throw off my mojo. Like, sorry, I like being warm all the time. Like, I probably shouldn't be living in Delaware because it's cold as hell right now.
Oh, my God, it's freezing. I am freezing up here.
It's cold. It's cold. But anywho.
Back to the story.
Yes. So, like I said, he hated Anne. And kids say hate, you know, pretty loosely, but not, like, intentional. Like, I've had kids say they hate me for, like, the silliest of reasons. Because I asked them to fix something on their classwork.
Yeah.
Because I made the whole class sit down for not following line expectations. Like.
Right.
For moving on in a lesson and not giving them the chance to share their thought. Even though I said, okay, we're going to take one more before we move on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. There's a plethora of reasons. But I know they don't really hate me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, if a kid doesn't say they hate you, are you even really considered a teacher?
Also, at that age, and I bring this up in, like, one of my cases, there's a psychiatrist that I follow, and she studies, like, teens, and they actually don't even have the emotion of love or hate at that age developed in their brain.
That's really interesting.
All they know is that they feel these intense emotions and don't know how to label it. So they label it as hate and love.
Because I don't know what it is. Mm. Yeah. Ooh.
What's that?
It's my fridge. I think it's the ice making ice because we ain't had no ice. Yeah. It really sounds... I can't do that. anyway. But when William said he hated Anne, he really meant it. And to point out that he meant it so much that at the age of 12, he decided he wanted to kill her.
And he killed her at what age?
15.
So he's plotted this for 3 years.
Yes. And I hope I'm right at 15. It's either 15 or 16. I'm so sorry. And again, you guys are probably like, well, why her? these aren't definitive reasons. Like, the what I'm about to discuss doesn't, like, okay, she did this, you should have been killed. And William never said, I killed her because blah, 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 blah. These are just what was put out there and what I meshed together.
Also, there's never a reason to kill.
Yeah, never.
Especially your teacher.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to hear these. I want to hear them.
So, like I said earlier, when he was confessing, he made it seem like it was either him or Anne, right?
Right. That she was out to get him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, either he was going to kill her or he was going to kill himself. So, one of the sources that I read said that William didn't like her because she gave him detention for not doing his homework, and also that she wouldn't let him drop her class.
Do you know how many detentions I've given out?
I'm saying.
I know that you teach third grade. Y'all don't do detentions.
Oh, no, we do.
Oh, do you?
Okay. I had a student throw a pencil at me last week. And
I had a kid throw an eraser at me.
Yeah, and he had 2 lunch and recess detentions.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know how things work in England, but I do know that when I was in high school, like, language was required. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
to have that foreign language credit.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's the same in Britain, but I would assume that it was.
Well, if she's hired as a Spanish teacher, it must be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, at least in high school, not until you get to college, it's really considered like an elective.
Right. I didn't have to take a foreign language in college.
Yeah. So I was watching the documentary Britain's Deadliest Kids, and it stated that 3 months before the murder that she gave him detention and told him that he wasn't able to go on a bowling trip.
So a field trip.
Yeah. Which to him was like the end all be all.
Huh.
So he's like, she has the nerve to take away my trip. I'm going to bowl with my friends.
Which he can bowl any Saturday of the week.
And again, them shoes stanky as hell.
Bacteria.
They stale as hell. And everybody toes is in them.
Yup. And everybody fingers in the balls.
Yes. And like, you're worried about bowling a perfect game. So you decide to kill your child.
Well, now you definitely not going bowling. You going to jail.
Yeah. So, but William decides to go on the trip anyway.
Oh.
So she's like, don't go on this trip. And he's like, never. And goes on the trip.
Oh.
So needless to say, going against these direct orders, he had to do, what it said was he had to do work on his own in class for the day. So I'm guessing that's the wording for England's like
ISS. Detention.
Yeah, that's what I assumed.
And ISS is in-school suspension, if you don't know.
Yeah, so the source that I read that said this, it didn't determine a date, so I'm not really sure if they're talking about the same detention that he got earlier from not doing the homework or whatever,
right.
or if these were correlated. I'm not really sure. And I don't know how far in advance they were from the murder either. So, but regardless of getting attention and like detention and not being able to drop a class, that's no, like, that's it. Like, those were all the reasons that I could find. You know what I'm saying?
Something else was going on.
I had to think so. Don't murder your teacher. Point blank, period.
Why? Yeah.
But the one thing, like, I know I said something was alarming earlier, and I honestly don't remember. Again, it's a happy hour. We finished a bottle of wine.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he told people about his plans to murder Anne.
And see, that's a red flag in all of my cases that I've covered thus far. Well, except for the Nicole and Victoria. Most of the cases that I've covered, the murderer has confided in friends and they brush it off and like, oh, no big deal. You're just crazy.
Yeah.
You're just being weird. Why are you being funny? Why are you acting like that?
Yeah.
So, no.
Yeah. It's really nuts. Like, and I think we said this in the other episodes when we recorded, like, it doesn't matter how minor you think the situation was. I would rather you confide and we investigate and find nothing rather than you say nothing and catastrophic things happen. You know what I mean?
But like, what did you called it something in another bystander effect.
Yes.
Like, if I hear information, I'm going to assume somebody else heard this information and they'll be the ones to report
it. Oh, yeah. And wait till I tell you, like, how much people knew. So when they looked through his social media, he was messaging his friends about his dislike for Anne and that he wanted to kill her. Some of the quotes were, "As long as she's alive, I'll be depressed, sad, and angry. So there's only one thing to do." And then on April 27th, the day before the murder, he messaged a friend saying, "I'm not looking forward to tomorrow. We have Maguire and I want her to perish."
Which are probably, maybe not to that extent, but I don't know. Are those normal among teens to say, like, I definitely can see teens texting and being like, "I'm dreading Miss Dozier's class.
Yeah.
We have a test.
Oh, yeah.
And she knows I'm not ready."
Uh-huh.
Do I have to die?
Yeah. It's a little too much.
You're also 16. You might not have this woman next year. You might not have her your senior year. And then guess what? After that, you're done with her for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And then, so not only did he tell people, he actually told other students that he was planning a triple homicide. So he was planning to kill a student and a pregnant teacher. And his words were, he wanted to kill her so he can get 2-in-1.
Thank God he didn't go through with that.
And there's really no explanation why.
As to why he didn't.
No, he never, like, stated why he never did it. It was just like, Anne was it. So that morning, he showed students in his Spanish class the knives and told them what he was planning on doing. And right before he left the classroom with said knife, he looked over at another student that was sitting beside him and winked at him.
Again, I say this not to blame anyone, but from personal experience, keep your head on a swivel.
Absolutely.
Because I can tell you these kids are in the hallways talking about shit you didn't even know was happening.
Yep.
And I hear it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can tell you what kid has lean in his water bottle.
Dang.
Because they're talking about it in the hallways.
Dang.
And what they don't realize is I have hallway duty. You walk by me in 3 seconds and you don't even know what you've even said in front of me.
No, because you're not paying attention.
You're just not paying attention to the person you're talking to. You're in deep conversation.
Yeah.
So I hear that you have lean in your cup. I'm going to go report. Well, first of all, I'm a mandated reporter.
Yeah.
I'm going to go report that shit. And now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not blaming anyone, but as an educator, if they had a college course called Head on a Swivel, you need to take it.
Take it.
Because these kids out here talking all the stuff.
They chatting.
And they can't keep a secret to save their life.
Never.
Just like here. He could not keep this a secret.
And that is alarming. You know what I mean? And just like we talked about earlier, the bystander effect.
Right.
Like, all of y'all knew. You saw. But then, we're taking it back. Everybody was aware. No one did anything about it.
They thought he was joking.
They thought he was joking. And do you remember why?
Why?
Probably not because we were drinking.
Why?
Because of his dark humor.
Oh, yeah.
So nobody's taking the shit seriously because they're like, oh, that's just William with his dark humor.
Well, because since 12, he's probably had this dark humor. 12 years old and you're 15 to 16 now.
Yeah.
At this point, people are brushing you off.
Yes.
It's crying wolf.
Yes. So they literally thought he was joking and never took him seriously. And like we said earlier, dark humor is fine. People have dark humor and are not murderers. But the minute you act on it.
And show me a weapon
and an intent of what to do with said weapon, I'm snitching.
Oh, I'm telling on everybody.
I'm snitching.
Because actually, I don't know if you were planning on killing so-and-so. You could be after me and just using this as a ruse.
Yeah. Because I know for myself, I know I wouldn't be able to forgive myself if I knew this information and then this ended up happening.
Yep.
There's no way. Be a tattletale. Be a tattletale. It could save somebody's life.
Absolutely. Snitches don't get stitches.
They don't. And I tell my kids that all the time.
They really don't.
They don't. So the people that he told, apparently he was threatening them and saying that if they told that he would do worse. And there was an investigation through the school and it was found that they weren't found at fault.
The school wasn't.
The school and the students weren't found at fault.
What? Okay, this is England, but isn't there a law that if you were to tell me you were going to kill Barney and I didn't report it, aren't I held accountable for that? There is, right? Conspiracy to commit.
Oh, that sounds about right.
I think that's what it's called.
That sounds about right.
I knew and I withheld information.
Yeah.
I can at least be held on contempt.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying these kids deserved that, but not they definitely should learn a lesson from the fact that if you hear something, say something.
Yeah, and I feel like
that's the message in airports. If you see something, say something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I definitely feel like moving forward, like this experience really taught them, like, yo, I should really say something. Like, you shouldn't just assume that it's someone's dark humor and assume that this is just who they are and they're just goofing around because look at what it did. And
yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
That was funny.
So at least 10 people knew what Will was planning to do that day. And the friend that I spoke about earlier, his name was Zach, said that Anne wasn't even supposed to be at school that day.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah, she was supposed to go watch her daughter dance. But he honestly believes that if she wasn't there that day, that Will would have literally done anything in his power to do what he intended to do. So if she wasn't there that day, she would have came the next day. And if she wasn't there that day, it would have been the next day. But so like
premeditated. Like yeah. He had this sought out.
Yeah. But I truly believe like if somebody would have said something, like things could have taken a different course. He could have been referred to a counselor. It seems like he needs therapy because he really had no definitive reason in his mind other than it was to kill her.
Well, it depends on what time of day this actually happened because they could have intervened before he even got to that class.
Yeah, I'm not sure what time the class
was. And like
was.
A quick little backpack search.
Backpack, yeah.
Like, let me search your backpack. Yeah. They have legal grounds to do that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like they could have gotten to the root cause of like his hatred for her because like I said, he had no reason to.
Yeah.
And then he could have worked on these inner demons and essentially been a better person and Anne could have still been alive being great and being that badass teacher that she was, that badass boss ass teacher. Just being the teacher Something. That we all enjoyed and loved while we were in school and she would have been enjoying retirement by now.
Oh my God.
With her family. Yeah. And now they're all left with just sadness and frustration and confusion because, granted, we don't have answers. So if we don't have answers, they don't have answers right. for why the hell it had to be my wife, why it had to be my mother
Over
that
detention.
You took. Yeah.
And just like, I don't like you.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people I don't like? Just in general, just don't like?
Big fact.
Like, but I tell my kids all the time, I'll pair them off with other students and they'll grumble. Like, two or three will grumble every single time. I'm like, no. Because do you know how many people in this school that maybe I don't get along with and don't collaborate with well, but I come to work every day and I do that with a smile on my face.
Yes, indeed.
I said, you have to learn to work with people who aren't your best friend.
Absolutely. I tell them, it's funny because I say that with my third graders, but I'm just like, if there is any discrepancy, you can work by yourself.
See, I don't give mine that option right now.
Uh-huh.
And I don't give them that option because they were behind socially for 2 years.
Oh, absolutely.
And I feel like we have to close that gap with social skills. And I'm not saying my kids are socially awkward. They're not. I'm just trying to build on those social skills and working with someone and collaborating and sharing responses. And I'm a big believer in that. What is it? Two before me? Three before me?
Oh, ask three before you ask me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I always tell them, okay, you're working with a partner.
Yeah.
Before you call me over there, make sure you've asked your partner
yes.
what to do
yes.
or how to do it or where you're getting stuck.
Yeah.
And that just allows your partner to learn communication. That allows you to learn communication.
Yeah.
Just those skills, man. I mean, all of this over because you didn't like her.
It's wild. It's wild. And I will never understand it.
You deserve to stay in jail.
You do. And I didn't find any updates, so I guess he's still here.
And my condolences to this family.
Yeah.
That is horrible.
We're so sorry that
she
happened.
Dedicated her life to this system.
She was literally the teacher we all aspire to be.
That we dreamed of in college.
Yes. The teacher that made us want to become
teachers. Miss Honey.
Yes!
She was Miss Honey.
She was the bomb.
I love Miss Honey.
She was Miss McGuire.
Mrs. McGuire.
And we would have loved her.
We would have. I did not like Spanish, but I feel like I would have learned it under
I that. Love Spanish in school, and now I teach at a Spanish immersion school.
That's awesome.
I do. That's why I always try to incorporate a little bit of Spanish. I mean, I'm the English immersion teacher at my school, so I have to bridge, like, certain things in Spanish just so it, like, flows between the two. But I typically don't speak my lessons in Spanish because, again, I'm not fluent in the language. Mm-hmm. So
I speak beginner Mandarin, and we just got our very first Mandarin-speaking student. I don't teach him, but my teacher bestie teaches him. And I found out that he was, like, doing his, like, ELL stuff. And I went in there, and I was like, ni hao. And, like, he got
so excited
yes. and red. And we, like, I asked him where he's from, like, what was his Chinese name, things like, just, like, normal.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
just nothing crazy. And now every time he sees me in the hallway, he's like, yeah.
Oh my God, that's like, so just sweet.
Like trying to get my attention, and I'm like, I'm really glad that you could feel a little bit more yeah. comfortable.
And my kids, like, they take so much ownership because I ask them all the time, like, ¿cómo se dice? Da da da, and we'll like go back and forth, and they're like, no, you say it like this, and it's like, guys, you know I'm not bilingual yet. Like I'm trying, I'm working, but when I do use it correctly, like they hype me up. They love it so much, and I just love that I'm able to, you know. Do that with them.
I love that.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. And that is our happy hour.
I mean, we're antsy, so I know they antsy, but.
But the bell don't dismiss you. This we glass do. Of wine do.
Ooh, cheers to that.
Cheers.
Get out of here.
Bye.
Bye.